Well, hey, welcome to Crossroads and welcome to the Grow Journey. My name is Andy Ryder. I'm the community pastor for Crossroads Anywhere. And today we're going to be hearing from our senior pastor, Brian Tome, on what it looks like to connect with God daily. Let's get started right now.
I have daily time with God.
I start my morning off with a cup of coffee and my Bible.
I take a 10,000 step walk with God every day. I just call it my prayer walk.
When I have my phone out and I'm praying, I'm just typing in my notepad and I'm talking to God. And it actually feels like I'm texting God.
I love spending my daily time worshiping. I love spending the morning singing, worshiping, and just asking God what He wants to speak.
Sometimes I like to pick a chapter of the Bible that I never read before.
In the morning, before my sister and I go to school, my family does a devotional together.
Good morning. Great to be with everybody today. Who today is ready to grow? Anyone ready to grow? Great, wonderful. You come to the right place. What we're starting is this journey, which is a multi-pronged approach to help you grow in whatever you want to grow with, specifically in the area of growing closer to God and growing to be more and more like God. I'm really excited about today. I'm excited about your ability to get into a group if you want to get into one. I'm encouraging it very, very highly. Guides, when you leave here today, you're going to get one of these guides to help you in your own personal self-discovery, your own personal things that you want to do. It's the beginning of a great few weeks. So before I go any further, let's pray, okay? God, I'm honored to be able to talk with people, whether they're here, whether they're online, whether whatever state they live in, I'm honored to be able to have some mind space. And I want you to have the mind space of everybody who's in earshot and eyeshot of this message. I want, and I'm asking for you to open up hearts, open up minds, and change lives. Change lives for us to be more like you. And God, help me to make that happen. And may all that I say honor you, and most importantly, may you see it as true. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. So I got a little challenge today. Let me just kind of let you into my world a little bit. You know, during the week, whenever I'm speaking on stage, I want to spend time praying, planning, brainstorming, processing through what a 35-minute talk would look like. And generally, in the midst of that time, it might come on Tuesday, it might come on Thursday, but I'm waiting for a click. There's like a click, 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 like all the things click, 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 comes together. Like, I got it, I see it. So maybe up to that point, I've had an outline I'm working on. I know a passage of scripture I'm going to use. I maybe know some lines or jokes or funny stories I'm going to use. But like, it generally, there's a moment when click, 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 it all comes together. I saw it. This week, I was like, man, I got plenty of things to say. I've spent plenty of time preparing for this, but like, I'm waiting for the click. I get up this morning, and I'm like, I go to bed last night, I get in this morning, and when I go speak someplace, I like to get there early. I like to pray over all the seats that are there, just that God might do something and all those seats are there, whether that is in Rock Valley, Iowa, where I was a couple weeks ago, got there early before I spoke to those farmers and did that thing, or here where I'm speaking Crossroads at Oakley, all three levels, I'll get up and get here hyper early because we have run through at like 6:30 or something like that, 6:45. And so before that, I'm going through every other row, praying over seats on all three levels and just asking God to kind of bless people here. And I know community pastors do that practice as well where we are. And about halfway through, I'm starting to get nervous. Like, oh man, I'm not feeling the click yet. I got plenty of things to say, all the slides in, I'm not feeling the click, click. And then I got this sense that God said to me, and when I say that God said to me, I didn't hear a booming voice, but there was this idea that came out of nowhere, and I thought, that's the kind of idea that Jesus would approve of. So that's generally when I say, well, God probably just spoke to me there. And the thought was this, said, Brian, just get people to be with me this week and I'll take care of the rest. Just get people to get with me this week and I'll take care of the rest. So I got a lot of stuff for you today. There's a cohesive outline, but like I'm just going to be giving you uppercuts and jabs and crosses and hooks and everything else. I just want to help you. I want to help you increase the likelihood that you might meet with God this week and he might do something in you. There's seven proven practices that Jesus modeled over and over, and all the greats in the New Testament and all the spiritual greats I've ever heard of in history. Seven of them. We're looking at five of them during this process of who wants to grow. By the way, who is happy with the way you are exactly right now? Don't desire to change or grow anybody. Anybody like that? Good, good. That's the one time I don't want to see anybody raise their hand in church. That's wonderful. I'm glad that we're all here, and we know God loves us the way we are. God loves us here we are right now. But if you believe that this is your final destination point, you're not going to grow. And if you don't grow, you don't get to a place of being all that who God wants you to be and can use you in all different areas. And there's seven proven practices that Jesus does again and again. Today, we're digging into the first one, which is meet with God daily. Meet with God daily. Have you ever realized that Jesus had to grow? So if I want to be like Jesus, I have to grow. Jesus had to grow. The book of Luke, chapter 1, says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He grew in wisdom and stature. Excuse me, Luke chapter 2. He grew in wisdom and stature. Now, obviously he grew in stature because if he came out at 6 foot or 5'3" or whatever he was, Mary would have been really torn up. He had to come in real small and then grow. So obviously he grew in stature, but you ever consider he grew in wisdom as well? He grew in his understanding of how the world worked. Interesting. He had to go through a growth process. And what he does, it says he grew in favor with men and God. As we grow, isn't that God's love increases for us, but his favor increases. What does his favor mean? His favor means there's certain things, favor, that comes our way when we're growing. There's certain things that we can't handle when we were in a previous state of ourselves. There's future things that we can handle that God does want to bless us with that he won't bless us with until we get to a certain point in our spiritual development and in our growth. I believe that's what's talking about there. That's why Jesus didn't die on a cross when he was 13. He hadn't grown to the point where he could do that. That's why all this stuff was a progression through his life. Growth is a significant part of life. And how did he grow? I believe that one of the ways he grew, one of the seven proven practices we saw him do, is that he met with God daily. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, it says that Jesus went out in the morning. He went early in the morning. I think this passage gives us a snippet of a regular practice he had. In the morning, I'm going to get out with God. In the morning, I'm going to talk with God. He was who he was. He grew to be who he was, in large part because of this proven practice of having a daily meeting time with God. Now, I am not going to put religion on you today. I just want to relax with you right now. I'm not going to put religion on you as defined by a bunch of rules and regulations that you have to do or God doesn't like you. I'm not going to give you rules and regulations. That's the only principle I'm giving you today. Having a time with God, a daily time with God, will help you grow. I'm going to help you. We're going to help you throughout this whole journey figure out what is your meeting look like? How does it work for you? What's the time it works for you? The place, all that stuff. I'm going to get in a moment. I just feel like I want to diffuse some of the quenching of the sphincter that might be happening here right now. Like, oh no, he's just going to tell me more stuff. I got to do my to-do list. Go, I got to. Relax. Relax your sphincter. It's okay. Don't release your sphincter. Just relax. Relax. I just want you to get with your dad, your heavenly dad today. That's what I want. We're going to spend the rest of our time in the book of Matthew. This whole series, we're going to trend towards the book of Matthew in the New Testament. It's the first book in the New Testament. It's one of the authorized biographies of the life of Jesus. And it's written from a Jewish perspective to a Jewish audience. The ancient Jews, and many maybe today, were very, very religious as defined by this is what you have to do. This is where you go. This is what you have to do on Sabbath. This is where you do it. Everything was everything was that kind of thing. And that may be the way some of us are feeling about spiritual growth, or we start about talking about personal time with God, like, oh, great, now I'm going to tell you to do this. I think the early nation of Israel or the Jesus audience was understanding this, and maybe that's also why it's a good passage for us to keep in mind. Let's take a look at it. We're looking at Matthew chapter 4. We're looking at a couple passages in Matthew chapter 4. This one is, I think, pretty good. Here we go. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Just stop right there. This is a time where Jesus is going to go through a wilderness, a desert period. Here's what you need to understand. As I try to encourage you to spend time with your God this week and for the rest of your life, you need to know it doesn't guarantee that he will show up and you're going to have a great time with him. It does not. Jesus, I believe, was doing all the right things, and he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What does it say? He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to grow spiritually. No, it doesn't say that. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness to sense a close presence of God. I don't say it. It says, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Wow, that's fun. Sign me up for that. He goes through 40 days in the desert, 40 days not feeling God at all. You say, well, how do I know he doesn't feel good? Well, because at the end of this, and I'm not going to give you the whole passage today. He goes through three classic temptations. I'm just going to give you one today. At the end of the whole thing, it says, and then God sent angels to minister to him. Not angels on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. He was in 40 days doing the right things for 40 days, and he didn't feel God. Sometimes you'll come away from a talk today like, okay, if I do this, the skies are going to part, and I'm going to do miraculous things, and I'm going to feel a quiver in my liver, and it's going to be great. The whole thing's going to be awesome. And then it's like, wah, wah. Sometimes it's like that. Well, God can't be played like a fiddle. He can't be, well, I'm doing this, so you have to do this, God. Sometimes that's why it's called a relationship. There's a give and take, and it's not always predictable. Every time that you go work out, do you feel stronger immediately? Every time do you go to counseling, do you come out of counseling going, oh, no, I'm emotionally healthy? Every time you read a book, do you go, wow, I am now spiritually, I'm now intellectually smarter? No, that's the way growth is. It doesn't necessarily work that way. But you know this, if you don't put in the time, you can't grow. So Jesus is going out for 40 days. He's going to be in the midst of a desert, and he's going to try to grow. He hopes so anyway. Verse 2, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Really? I love how the Bible is so obvious sometimes. So enlightening. After fasting 40 days, he was hungry. I wouldn't have seen that one coming. And the tempter came to him, and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Someone is always trying to hijack our identity. And this is what's happening with the evil one with Jesus. If you say, right. You believe that virgin birth thing, your mother gave birth to you and having never had sex, you believe that. Wait a minute. You believe that you've heard from God? You believe as you've been growing in wisdom and stature, you're understanding his plan for you, and you're understanding that you're the Son of God? You think you are. If. There's a constant assault on your identity and my identity. Oh, really? Are you that? Really? It comes from other people, or it comes from voice inside of our head. Oh, really? You really think it? Are you really good enough? You really can do that? Are you? He does that with Jesus. If you're the Son of God, you're hungry right now, dude. eat these stones right now. Make these stones bread. Because if you're the Son of God, you should have that kind of power. Look what Jesus says. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus says, you want me to do this miracle, but I understand the scriptures. I've been reading them. I've been growing in wisdom and stature. And I know I'm not supposed to prove myself for you, because bread isn't all that I'm about. I'm not supposed to live on bread alone. I'm supposed to live on the very presence of God. Now, this is a Jewish book, I said, written to Jews in the book of Matthew. We have to understand a little bit of Jewish history to understand this in my next point. Jewish history, biblical history, the Bible weaves itself together, all of it, the Old and New Testament. There's a classic scene in the Old Testament where the nation of Israel is going through a wilderness period. Again, 40 years, not sensing God. Why do we get so upset we don't sense God for a day, for a week, for a month? It's very normal to go long periods and you're doing the right things, but you're not feeling it for whatever reason. Every spiritual great, every spiritual person who's been growing has gone through those. The nation of Israel for 40 years, Jesus for 40 days, and there was other periods like that as well. In the midst of that 40 years, God was providing for them. He provided what's known as manna. Manna was bread that fell from the sky. It was actually a flake substance, and the word should be translated in Hebrew to actually be, what is it? This stuff would fall down like, what is it? What is it? It's manna. What? And they would eat it, and God would let them have enough for each day. Every night, brand new manna coming up, coming down the ground, wake up in the morning, oh, I got stuff out of there. God, I got even more. And you only could take what you could take and eat that day. Once a week, you could take a double portion. That was the day before the Sabbath. You gather enough for that day and the next day. It was very, very critical. Don't hoard. Don't take too much. Just enough for that day. It's known as daily bread. This is why Jesus prays to his disciples. He prays what's known as the Lord's Prayer, which is the prayer that other people can learn to pray the way he prayed it. It's a very strange prayer. Anybody ever played organized football? I grew up in Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, I don't know what it was. Maybe all my coaches had some religious background. I guess they did. For some reason, they thought it was appropriate to pray the Lord's Prayer before we went out on the football field. Now, what is the point of football? It's to give somebody a concussion. That is the point of football. We're all shocked. No, it's the whole point. Hit somebody as hard as you possibly can. That's the point of full contact football. And we would pray in the locker room. Okay, boys, before we go out there, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We'll stop right there. That's from Matthew chapter 6. Give us this day our daily bread. When I get together with God, he might tell me something that might affect my next year or decade of my life. But what I'm looking for is my daily bread. I'm looking for just enough today to make today matter. Just enough today to have a sense of his presence and to get me going in the right direction. Looking for his daily bread. Now, I'm gonna talk about how I do it with my daily bread. That's what this is gonna be about. I'm gonna talk about this in just a minute, but for various reasons, I don't like to sit in this, and I'll tell you that in a little bit. I don't like this. I know this is here. I'll get to it in a minute. I'll get to it. Just relax. This is about growing. This whole journey is about growing. No matter who you are yesterday, you don't have to be who you were yesterday today. And here's the great news. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Today's a new day. It doesn't matter what you did last year. This is a new year. The great news is, no matter what your past is, God cares about where you are right now. And right now, are you willing to grow beyond where you are right now? That's all that matters. Right now, new day, fresh start. Are you going to grow from where you are right now? John Newton was a former slave trader. Slave trader. Was involved in the slave trades, bringing people over from Africa and killing and selling. It was awful, awful, awful. And as he grew, he actually started growing closer to Christ, and God convicted him of the horrible atrocity of kidnapping and slavery and the whole thing, and God led him to repentance. He changed his belief, he changed his mind, he changed his direction, and he started to grow to become more like Jesus. He grew to the point where he wrote probably the most well-known song in all of human history in every corner of the planet, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Here's what John Newton said about growth. A Christian is not of hasty growth, like a mushroom, but rather like the oak, the progress of which is hardly perceptible, but in time becomes a great, deep-rooted tree. Christian is not one of hasty growth. Like mushrooms go fast, but they're mushy. You squash them. No big deal. They could be hallucinogenic for you, maybe. That's it. That's all they could do. There, good, gone. There's no, you look at, it's like overnight, literally overnight. You can take a walk on a trail and there's nothing. The next day, oh my gosh, wow. That's not the way spiritual growth is. It's like an oak tree. Every day. Just a little. That's why. Every day, and it's almost imperceptible, but it's growth. And by the way, the Bible talks about being an oak of righteousness, never a mushroom of righteousness. It's an oak of righteousness. We start where we are. We get in the midst of the proven practices, and we see God make us hard as an oak, taking our roots deep into the soil to deal with whatever winds may come around, being able to drop acorns and be a bastion of shade for all who are around us. And to be an oak means being in growth period, growth mode, for a long, long time. Imagine, I think a lot of us have the problems we have because we're not in growth mode. Those of us who have a victim mindset, our problems are always because somebody else did something to us. But those of us with a growth mindset, we say, okay, let's stop here. Maybe it's not other people. Maybe it's something I'm missing here. Imagine if you get up in the morning and you go over to your kitchen, and there's like water on the floor. What are you going to do? And get down the floor, wipe up the water. Okay, good. You're going to go about your day. You're going to do your thing. You're going to go to work. You come back, and there's water on the floor. You're going to go, the heck is what are you gonna do? You get down on the floor, you're gonna wipe off the water. Okay, all right. And you're gonna go to bed, you're gonna get up in the morning, you're gonna come down, and you're gonna go, same spot, same exact spot, water on the floor again. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna assume that it was my dog Peanut that came over to your house and peed in the floor? Or are you going to assume that somebody left the faucet on again? Or are you gonna go, where's it coming from? I've got to look up. Is there a pipe that's burst up here that's leaking down? Is there something? Most of us, we go through our life only looking down and dealing with our problems instead of looking up. Looking up and trying to see the source. Not just the source of our problem, but the source of our life. Growth is about not looking down and looking up. Taking responsibility for understanding and trying to invite God into my life. All right. 3 points today. All that to say, let's get into the actual outline. They're always planning on this. Here we go. If you want to meet with God, if you want to grow, which I do, and I know you do too, or else you wouldn't have come here today in a dark room on a beautiful day. You'd be doing something else. Everybody is open to that in some degree. Three things. First is this. Pick your place. Pick your place. Pick a place that you go to every day that triggers for you, this is the place where I look to meet God. That's this place for me. This chair. This chair that's a bit ratty. Kind of embarrassing to have it on stage, actually. This chair is ratty. Thankfulness of my cat, Frank, who I just cannot get to stop him from clawing things. So this is Frank's doing. Frank claws this chair. I didn't want to sit in this chair earlier. I don't like sitting in it actually right now at all because I'm working right now. I'm trying to teach you, but I'm actually not in a one-on-one connecting with God. I like to save this chair for when I'm trying to connect with God. I want a trigger. I got taught this when I first came to Christ at 15, 16 years old. And ever since then, every apartment I've lived in, every house, there's always been a place that I only sit in when I'm wanting to talk with God and pray with God. I can talk with God anywhere. I can talk with God throughout the day. I can talk with God in the car, and that's good. The Bible says we should pray at all times without ceasing. But just like Jesus went away in the morning, I need to go away, and I need to know my place. So this chair, if I'm going to surf the web on my computer, I have another chair, it's like this, I want to sit in that chair. If I want to do something else, I want to sit in that chair. This one, it's just a cue that tells me, okay, I'm on. And I've always had one, no matter where I've lived the last decades. A corner of the couch, anybody else can sit on too. But when I sit in that, my butt tells my mind, okay, this is God time right now. Pick a place. Pick your place. Pick your place. Now, in this chair, do I sit in this chair and automatically go, oh, I feel God. Oh, I feel God. No, I'm going to do some things that I'm going to tell you about in a moment. They're going to increase the hit rate that I'm going to sense God and talk with him in this chair. But it starts with this. You have got to know what is the place that triggers your mind and tells your spirit, this is God time. This is me and God time. Just like you set up a meeting with a friend of yours in a coffee shop or a bar, or you go into a conference room at work, you go in that the surroundings tells you, okay, this is business time or this is hangout time. Or you go into the gym, the surroundings and the clothes you put on tell you, okay, this is sweat time. I want a place that tells me, okay, this is God time. And am I guaranteed to have an encounter with God every time? No, but I am guaranteed to not have an encounter if I don't have a place. Guaranteed. Greatest hockey player of all time, Mario Lemieux. Anybody knows this. It's Mario Lemieux. Anybody grew up in Pittsburgh, he's the best. He's awesome. You'd want him more than anybody else. It's amazing. Now, it is true, the person who has the most points and is amazing and they're very, very close friends is Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky said this. He said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Will you feel God and have a growth breakthrough moment every time you get to your place? No, but you're guaranteed to not have one if you don't get to your place. You're guaranteed the rest of the day to only go in your own mindset. You're guaranteed for the rest of the time to only be operating on whatever comes your way. The only way you have a shot at hearing from God and having something go well with you in a spiritual one-on-one encounter is if you pick a place. Number two, trim your time. Trim your time. All of us have the same amount of time. Whenever we say, I don't have time, that's kind of bad. We all have the same amount of time. Or you have more time than me. No, they have the same seconds and minutes and days. We all have the same time. Well, I'm going to make some time. You don't make time. Time just is. It's seconds become minutes, becomes hours, becomes days, becomes weeks, becomes months, becomes years, becomes decades, becomes millennia. It's on like that, okay? You don't make that. But what you and I can do is we can choose of all the things that are going on today, I can trim out and say, this, I'm going to trim out, and this can be my shot where I get with God. I must say before I say anything else, those of us who are single parents, I know this is incredibly difficult. I don't want to put on religion on you and just say, you know, I know for some of us where we are, how I don't have anything to trim. I'm already max. I know for some of us this could be incredibly difficult. And so you're going to have to figure that out with you and God. And whatever you guys figure out, great with me, it's fine. Doesn't matter to me. It matters what you want and you and God want. But I know this, studies are very clear that the average American adult, not child, adult, spends over 7 hours a day looking at a screen. 7 hours. Some of us, maybe that's influenced because we're looking at work, but come on, look at the amount of time. Just go on your own phone, look at your own activity, just staring at your phone. They have the statistics if you've got an iPhone. The amount of things that we watch and binge, and I say we. I'm not above and beyond, I'm saying we. It is a lot. There is time to trim if we want it. For me, my time is the morning. That's just what works best for me. I know people, it's like best time is lunchtime for them. They take a little time out of lunch, and I would not recommend an hour. In fact, I would just say this. Unless you're doing this, do not leave here today. Have a goal. Say, I'm going to have an hour with God every day. You're, not to be cynical, but you're likely to fail, and it will make you less prone to try again. Try something very simple. Trim some time. I'm going to try 5 minutes. I'm going to try 15 minutes. Half hour, whatever you want, but just pick a time. I don't like to do it over lunchtime. Some people do it over lunchtime because by the time the day goes, like I'm in the groove. I'm like in conquer mode. I'm like, yeah, let's go through and get all this stuff. And then to slow down, okay, whew, slow down, forget about the task. That's tough. That's tough for me. Some people like it at night. I don't like it at night, but the Bible never says, thou shalteth doeth it in the morning eth. It doesn't ever say that. So whatever works for you, some people do it at night. I don't like it at night because by nighttime comes, I am so worn out. Me, I'm giving God my leftovers and I'm just not fresh at night. I like it in the morning where, okay, I might get something that might help that day. For you, what is your time? What's your time? Third thing. Practice your plan, your plan. What you're going to get is you get these journals today, or journals, guidebooks, as you get these today. In the back of this, you're going to find there is a little poster. In this poster, this whole journey is about self-discovery. It's you discovering you and you discovering you and God and what works for you and God to get you to grow the way you want to grow. It's not giving you a formula. It's saying these are the proven practices, and find out how you're going to operate inside of this. So you'll get this poster, and it's going to have a bunch of things for you to do on it, and you'll be able to figure out, what works for me inside of these things? What works for me? What is my process? My process has been pretty much the same for the last many years. I have just some of the things that I use. These are old journals of mine. What I do, and some of this tweaks over the years, but a lot of it stays exactly the same. I come and I start my time off with prayer, just a little silence, like, hey, God, I'm here. I'd love to hear from you today. If I don't hear from you, it's all good. Thankful for you. And then I'll read something. I often, just about every day, use the Crossroads app because it's got a really simple chapter of the Bible I can read. And why is the Bible important every day? Because the Bible is known as the Word of God. It's like whenever I know that I'm hearing from God. If you want to hear God speak audibly, read the Bible out loud. It's anything that I think God is telling me, like that thing I felt God told me this morning, I just get my people to spend time with me, and I'll take care of the rest. I take that through what I know of this. Is there anything in here that says that couldn't have been God? No, I think it all matches up. Okay, I'm just going to assume that's God. So I want to always have some Bible. I always want to do that. I oftentimes will also have a little spiritual book I'm working with as well. It'll be part of my time with God. It could be a biography of a spiritual hero. I just got done with a biography of Jim Rayburn, who was the founder of Young Life, an organization that actually brought me to Christ. It was an inspiring and depressing biography at the same time. And it was also very, very helpful for me to read. There's other things I'll do with that. And what I do is I journal. Now, the last several years, I've been doing my journaling because I can keep it forever and I can search if I want on digital. I've done that several years. And then I felt this past year, I need to get back to old school, like writing things down in the journal, which has been really helpful. These are just some of them that I just pulled out randomly of times with God. Sometimes I'll outline a passage of scripture. Sometimes I'll write my prayer. Sometimes I'll recap what I'm feeling, all that stuff. Want to hear some of these? All right, you're the first person to speak. Tell me when my hand will stop. Right here? Okay. All right. Let's do a little journal roulette. Now, I must say to you that I must tell you that I have to be careful what I read because this could get me fired in here. You know what I mean? I got deep, dark secret sins in here. Although they're so long ago. Let's see, how long is this going? We'll see what the day is. Okay, I see. And there. All right. This is 7/19/99. I have three here. Okay, so this week, I was hit and miss. I journaled 7/9, 7/12, 7/16, 7/27. Let's look at July 9th, 1999. Oh, Lord, how powerful you are. I felt completely ill-equipped going into that sermon last night and relearned that doing ministry is all about your power, not my ability. This comforts me as I look at the challenges ahead of me and us. In many ways, I feel totally free and having made the decision to release a couple staff members. It is like D-Day. The war isn't done, but it is over. Please help me to believe in the proper way. Help me to not get bitter, hateful, or spiteful. Yeah. Let's do another one. Just got curious. You don't have to applaud for my journals. Jeez. Gosh. Let's do a couple days earlier. Oh, this one. Gosh. Of course he would have me find this one. Here we go. June 10th, 1999. I read that day Hosea 1-3. Father, I've not been spending enough time with you. Most times I've been feeling that way for decades. I don't know if I just don't or I just have a lot of guilt complex. Father, I've not been spending enough time with you. This has made me feel dry and out of touch. Not good for a child of yours, particularly when faced with serious issues. I've given that sometimes I'm concerned about our relationship only as much as it affects my job or my productivity level. These things then affect my yada, 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 on and on it goes. My heart is too fickle. I'm too selfish and hypocritical. I'll have to maybe look at these later on. Now, what these reflect is just at that moment, I just wanted to meet with God. That's all it was. There's no, probably no massive life breakthroughs that's there. It's just the small incremental growth of a future oak tree. The small incremental getting deeper and deeper into the transcendent one who's made you, who loves you, who cares for you, who's all about you. Let me show you one last verse. This is in Matthew chapter 4, the next one, 4:23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. And so his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains. Various diseases and pains. It also says up here, he healed their afflictions. I started wondering, this is just part one of the things I read in the Bible that's just this last week in my time with God, like, afflictions, pains. Was Jesus going around healing emotional pains? Was he healing relational pains? Was he healing financial pains and afflictions? That word affliction can also be translated as delicacies, not like things to eat, just very delicate, things are tender, emotionally, relationally. Maybe the reason why the Bible shows a lot of the people he healed was because the people he healed physically, that they could see it was a miracle. So this guy's not walking, and all of a sudden he's walking, he's running. Wow, a miracle. This guy's got sores all over him, a disease of leprosy all over him. He prays for him, there's no sores. Everyone can see it. Their faith can be built. But maybe it doesn't record any of the afflictions, the emotional afflictions, the sexual afflictions, the relational afflictions. Maybe it doesn't promote any of those because they weren't visible to the eye to write it down, to build our faith. But that person knew something powerful took place. Very powerful. I've been around literal physical healings that I've seen and known. I've been around them. They're amazing. It's awesome. For some reason, though, the afflictions, the pains, the emotional ones, the relational ones, that realm tends to not go immediately away. It's like God wants those things to draw us closer to him. It's like he wants us to go through the growth process. I felt a sense of rejected. I've always felt like people are out to get me. They're going to leave me at any moment. I felt that thing since the day I was been adopted. And adopted is amazing and wonderful and huge, huge, massive proponent for it. But I think that God has been healing. He's still healing me of that affliction today. It's through my growth process. I'm not as hurt when somebody walks out at me as they used to. I'm not as paranoid as I used to be. I'm not as defensive as I used to be because I've been growing. And where has that growth been taking place? It's been taking place in this chair. It's been here that I get to see how God actually likes me. He likes me. Do you realize he likes you? He likes you. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. Says to Jesus, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. It's at his baptism. Baptism is one of the seven practices. Whom I'm well pleased. He actually likes me. Makes him happy. And this is before Jesus did any miracles, any crazy stuff. Okay. I told you what I want to do is try to get you with God. That's about all I got for you, friends. I don't have any big pithy clothes for you. I just want to hit you from every angle. Say, hey, do yourself a favor. Do your growth a favor. Find a place. Trim some time. Work a plan that you want to work And your life will eventually change. You will become an oak tree instead of a fickle mushroom that gets trampled down and gets forgotten about and comes today and is gone tomorrow. Be an oak tree. God, I'm thankful for your patience with people like me who are too mushy. And I'm thankful for how you can make people like me harder and stronger and taller and larger than we ever could have done on our own. Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust you that I heard from you and that you have done the job you wanted me to do today by encouraging your people to just take another try this week and get with you and meet with you. I leave it in your hands. Amen. All right, before community pastors come up, one more thing I say. Hey, man, if you say you're going to do it every day and you don't do it every day, you don't miss it, fine. Don't miss that day. Sometimes I'm like 5 days a week sometimes. Fine. Get over it. Wait for next day. No guilt. Just you and God. All right, let's go to our community pastors.
Hey, this is the Grow Journey, and we don't want you to miss out on the opportunity to grow. So do two things for me. One, head to crossroads.net/journey and get a guide. If you are around a Crossroads site, you can pick one up there. If you're not, hey, right at that same link, we can mail one to you wherever you are. Secondly, join a group because we grow better when we grow together. Thanks so much for joining us on Crossroads.